T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Learning that you've been infected with COVID-19 could be just the start of a months-long process to recover from the virus. As we learn more about how this virus works, becoming clear there's no straightforward recovery process. In fact, patients continue to experience a whole range of symptoms well after the initial infection is left.
And the symptoms can last months, and they can be as mild as the loss of the sense of smell or serious lung damage. And here's the scary part. There is a ton about the long-lasting effects of this virus that we still do not know. Dr. Zijin Chen is medical director of the Center for Post-COVID Care at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Thank you for joining us, doctor. You know, in our next segment, Mike and I are actually talking to another New York doctor who was infected back in April and is still struggling to recover from COVID-19. And it's an interesting story, but it's turning out he's not all that atypical, is he?
Well, Charles and Mike, thank you first for having me. And yeah, in regards to what you're describing with that physician that was infected months ago and still having symptoms, no, it is not atypical at all. At the center here, our goal is to actually look at and treat the patients with long-lasting symptoms of COVID-19. And since our inception and beginning to seeing patients until now, which has been about 6 weeks, we've seen more than 100 patients and more in coming that have all had symptoms for weeks and months without relief.
Now, what kind of symptoms, and have you been able to separate these into different areas? And then side question to that, I guess, is how do you even start to track some of this when it's just so clear now that this is not just what we thought it was at the beginning?
Yeah, so the symptoms, many of the patients are having a lot of pulmonary symptoms, meaning they have shortness of breath, they have trouble breathing. And in addition to that, they also have cardiac symptoms, meaning they have chest pain. And also some shortness of breath associated with chest pain, as well as many neurological symptoms such as brain fog, mental slowness, and difficulty in concentration. And it's been quite a task to track all of these patients because many of them have multiple symptoms. But what we've done at the center is we've brought together a very, knowledgeable group of doctors who are dedicated to first treating these patients and also doing studies to find out why this is happening and eventually find a common thread that we can start, figuring out and treating.
And here's, I think, another interesting part, because Mike and I were in talking to that other physician. He's only 40 years old, and there are an awful lot of people who are 40 and younger who do have the attitude that, well, COVID-19, yeah, a lot of older people will get it and maybe will die or be seriously ill, but I'm 20 or I'm 30 or I'm 40. I'm not likely to get much more than a bad cold, and that apparently isn't true.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, this disease affects all spectrum of ages. We are seeing initially the older patients who are getting sick, and yes, they were dying. And it's possible that it's because, they were the ones who are most compromised. But as, we have this disease that's being percolated through the population, we see that as more and more young people get sick, they are also, susceptible to, number one, the acute illness, and then also the long-lasting effects of the, residual disease. So nobody is really protected.
For those who are asymptomatic and don't show a lot of outward symptoms, does something still happen to them? I was reading that there's some study in Arizona showing that they're still dealing with some sort of lung damage, even though they don't realize it.
So, you know, there are studies that are run by many medical centers, Mount Sinai being one of them, that looks at asymptomatic patients who have been tested positive, and they have been undergoing CAT scanning and imaging for these patients. And we do still see that there are some lung changes that can, you know, appear despite the patient not having any symptoms at all.
Is there any, and I know it's early on, but are you starting to either see or suspect some common thread running through these patients who end up suffering long-term from this disease when the statistics, I think, still show the majority of people don't get any symptoms or are mildly affected? What is it about this subset that they have in common?
I don't think there's any answers right now as to which, you know, subset of patients, you know, you will have more severe disease. Well, we really do wish that we know that because, you know, having, you know, that knowledge would let us, you know, target these patients with more aggressive treatment and care early on to maybe prevent some of these end results. But at the current time, we don't know. We can only speculate.
Dr. Zijin Chen, Medical Director, Center for Post-COVID Care, Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City.